If you would stand and turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 11, verses 14 through 28. Luke 11, 14 through 28. This is the word of our Lord. Now he was casting out a demon that was mute. When the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke. And the people marveled, but some of them said, "He casts out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons." While others, to test him, kept seeking from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For if you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebul, and if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him, and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters." You may be seated. Have you ever experienced or witnessed someone who is demon-possessed? You know, this is something that maybe you have not witnessed, and oftentimes in America, for some reason, we don't see this a lot. Though in other countries, it's very common to see this. I wonder sometimes what the reasons are, and we could talk more at more length about that another time. Sometimes I think, though, that these people are just not in the circles that we maybe run in. If you were to go and spend a lot of time with homeless people, the poor, and the really struggling people, I think you would encounter this more. Living in California last year, where a lot more homeless people are able to stay year-round, I saw a lot of very troubled people. And sometimes maybe we send them off away from us and have somebody else treat their needs. And so we don't maybe encounter this on a daily basis. But if you were to encounter this, or if you have, you probably realize really quickly that you're in over your head on your own, in your own strength. The power that a demon, an evil spirit, can have over a person is terrifying. There's great oppression or possession, and clearly an evil foe. And when I've encountered this, even though it's been a small amount of times, I've felt very inadequate in myself. And I realize in those moments, I need to call on an authority that is higher than I to deal with this, or I'm going to get myself into a whole lot of trouble. I can't take this on by myself. And in this text, we have an example of an exorcism, a demon being cast out by Jesus. But he's challenged. His authority is challenged here in this matter, or actually, what's challenged is by what authority he is going. Whose power is at work behind Jesus? And so there's an accusation made against him. But as we approach this, I want to point out that there are four different kinds of hearers or people responding to this situation presented in our text. That's going to be important, especially at the end. But then one of these groups makes the blasphemers make an attack on Jesus, and so we need to ask, by whose authority is Jesus coming? Who is the power at work in casting out these demons? And then lastly, we're going to talk about what side are you on, or who is behind you, whose authority do you look to? So first of all, these different kinds of hearers. First of all, there was this person that the demon was cast out of. And this person, it says here, was mute. But also in the other gospel account that mentions this, it mentions that he was also blind. So if you could imagine the kind of difficulty this person is dealing with. We know of Helen Keller, and we can think of how challenging this would be, how oppressive just physically the situation is already for this person, being blind and deaf and then essentially mute too. The word here for mute and deaf is the same because they go together. When you can't hear, you can't speak clearly either. And this person then is really trapped. This person is also brought to Jesus to have this demon cast out. And so I would call this first person and maybe his friend that brought him to Jesus a hearer, a believer, because this person was brought to Jesus because they had heard of his wonders, that this is the man who could help take care of his needs. But then we've got these other people that are responding to all of this, and they see this event happening, and some of them say, some of the people first marveled, it says in verse 14. That's the first group, the masses. And you can think of all these people were hearing about the miracles of Jesus, and what would they do with that news? And some of them maybe just dismissed it, weren't really that interested, but there would be these large crowds that would come with their curiosity piqued. Now, this is maybe kind of like a Gawker slowdown on the freeway, right? Do you know what I'm talking about? Being a city boy, I see this all the time. Whenever there's an accident, everybody slows down because they're just curious what's going on here. Even if they don't have any intention of helping or getting involved or anything, they want their curiosity satisfied. And so for a moment, they have their interest fixed on it, but soon let go of it. And that was many of the people. They would marvel at him. They maybe follow him for a short time, and then they would be gone. So then a third group of people in verse 15, but some of them said, he casts out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons. And these are coming with a bold accusation against Jesus. And they clearly do not believe in him, do not trust him. And in fact, even more than that, they are so against him that they are willing to just slander him, to say that as he's helping this man be free from a demon, a devil, that Jesus is actually working for the devil himself, the prince of demons, who they call here Beelzebul. And so there are those who for whatever reason do not trust in Jesus and reject him and even work against him. And there we're going to hear Jesus' response to this accusation in our next point here. But this last group of people in verse 16, it says, well, others, to test him, kept seeking from him a sign from heaven. And these are they're other opponents, but they have a different approach, a different mindset. And they're kind of these people who are saying, show us another trick, Jesus. Yeah, do another trick for us. That'd be fun. And they're kind of mocking, they're kind of testing, and maybe a little selfish in all this. They just want to show. They want to see some cool stuff. But they're not trusting in Jesus either. And now we see Jesus' response. Notice in verse 17, it says, but he, knowing their thoughts. Only God knows the thoughts of man, right? But Jesus knows. And he says this in his first response to them And so we're hearing now about where this authority comes from. Is he really coming from the devil, Beelzebul, the prince of demons, or not? Here's Jesus' response. Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. Jesus is showing the foolishness of their claim, this slander against him, that he comes from the devil. And he points out how foolish this idea is. Now, have you ever watched a sports game, like a basketball game, where somebody tries to accidentally, usually, score on their own hoop, right? Does the team defend against that very much? I mean, that's going to benefit from that? No, they just, well, if you want to score points for us, go right ahead, right? Or a football game where the guy runs the wrong way and he's going to run into the wrong end zone. That's really not helpful for your team. And it's futile. In fact, there's no reason for it. And if that was the situation, it would just defeat itself. It would collapse. Nobody declares war on themselves. And so if that were the case, if the devil was using Jesus to cast out his own workers, this kingdom would just fall apart. And that's just not the case. And it's foolishness anyway. It would not be a tactic the devil would use. And we see also that kingdom is not falling apart currently in this world, but is well and active and wreaking havoc. And so again, Jesus responds to them in another way. He said, And if Satan is also divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? So more of that same. But for if you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebul, and if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? You see, these people who were coming and accusing him were the Pharisees or scribes, the religious leaders, and they also had people from amongst them that were recognizing the problem of demons possessing people, the spiritual warfare happening around them, and they were sending out people from amongst them called sons. And that just means that they came out from them and were a part of their work, and they were going out and they were trying to cast out demons as well. It doesn't say that they were successful at all, but they were going out and trying to do this work. But they had to be going out with some kind of authority that they were claiming, some kind of name that they were claiming as well. And Jesus says, if people who are casting out demons are doing it by Beelzebul, the prince of demons, then are your sons also doing it that way? And you see that he turns this around on them and shows their hypocrisy. They are just trying to accuse Jesus for no reason, not recognizing that their argument is foolish to begin with, but also hypocritical. And now he says that these sons will be their judges. Because if they have to go to these sons, these people from their own party, and ask them, who do you cast out demons by? They're not going to say Beelzebul. And then they're going to have to defend Jesus, and so he must not be casting them out by Beelzebul either. And so even there would be a contradiction within their own party. But then Jesus says this, but if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. There's really only two options. There's two great forces at play that Scripture tells us is happening in this world. It's the prince of demons versus God himself. And you either are claiming the authority of one or the other. And he has shown that it would make no sense for him to be doing this work, working for the devil. And he's saying, if it is by God then, by the finger of God, or as in the Gospel of Matthew says, by the Spirit of God, by his authority, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. This would be a proof that he is actually from God. And so Jesus has shown who is the authority behind his work. Clearly not the devil, and obviously something only God could or would do. And so Jesus comes armed with the power of the finger of God, by the Spirit of God, against these demons. He gives another example to help illustrate this for us. And he says, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. You know, the devil is the strong man in this illustration, the one guarding his house. Scripture talks about him as the prince of the power of the air, and that this kingdom of this world is one that he is ruling in during this time, that he is prowling around like a roaring lion, seeing whom he may devour. And he is the strong man, fully armed in his palace of this earth, with all his guards and his goods. And what are those goods that he has in there? But the souls of unbelieving people that he is tormenting and has in captivity. And really, that is the condition of every person who has not been delivered by Jesus. Every single person is born captive to sin and the devil when they are born into this world because of the corruption and curse of sin. He is the master that you are born serving. He is a strong man, and he has the people captive, and they are helpless to get out themselves. They're in a well-guarded palace. And what is needed in this situation? Obviously not that the devil would fight against himself or anything like that, but that a strong man, a stronger man than him, would come in and bind that one and set the people free. Take all those goods away. And that's what our Lord Jesus did. If you would, keep your finger in Luke 11 and turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2, verses 13 through 15. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. And listen to the close connection in this last part here to our text. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. When Jesus took our sins and all of our trespasses, our record of debt, and he nailed it to the cross, and he died there in our place, it says that that was his great work of disarming the rulers and the authorities. Jesus, the one who came and showed that he could resist all temptation of the devil. Jesus, who showed that he had power over all the demons, and he could cast them out. In fact, when he would go about and encounter people who were demon-possessed, the demons were terrified, and they would beg and plead with him or go into turmoil at his presence because Jesus was stronger. He showed his authority and his power and his greatness as he healed the sick, the blind, the deaf, the mute. He was victorious in every way and ultimately in defeating sin and death and the devil through the cross and through his resurrection. And it says he disarmed those rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them. And so our Jesus is the one who's stronger than this strong man, the devil. But his tactic would be to go in and defeat that devil and then set the people free. Jesus says at the end of our passage here, "Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters." I want to ask you today, whose side are you on? Who's the authority that you follow? Who is your master? There's two options. It's the devil, Beelzebul, the prince of demons, and the Almighty God, and our Lord Jesus. Who is it that you are trusting in? If you're trusting in anybody besides Jesus, you are trusting in the devil himself, and you are captive, and you're helpless, you're trapped, and you have a cruel master. But Jesus is stronger. He comes to set you free, to take you home, to transfer you from this kingdom of darkness to his kingdom, the kingdom of the beloved Son. And he has had victory for you. He's disarmed the guards and the captors. He's busted down the gates to the devil's palace and left it wide open for you. And he invites you to come and live with him in his kingdom. You can put your trust in him. You know, our Jesus is so wonderful. If you would just dwell on him for just a moment longer and think about how amazing he is. First off, in his love, casting out this demon from a man who's blind, deaf, and mute. Think of that. The great compassion and love of our Savior Jesus, who would help somebody who is totally helpless. And really, this person on the outside is the most helpless that we could probably imagine. But really, we are all that helpless on our own in our souls, spiritually, before God. But God has compassion on us. We who can't even hear him, see him, talk to him, come to him in our own strength, he comes to us and sets us free out of his great love. But also look at his great power and his authority as he shows his authority over even the devil in defeating him. Think of those words of Jesus as he died on the cross. "It is finished." Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word again to us today, and we pray that as we hear it, that we would put our trust in you, seeing that you are a gracious God, a loving God who comes to us in the midst of our anguish, our pain, our weakness. Lord, when we can't help ourselves and we even need to be brought before you, Lord, you look upon us with compassion and offer us healing and forgiveness of our sins. And Lord, you are also that strong man who is stronger than the one who's in the palace of this earth, the devil. And you come and disarmed him by nailing our debts to the cross. We thank you, Lord, for your sacrificial death for us. And may we not despise that. May we not, like the masses and the crowds, just look at you for a moment with a little curiosity and then look away. May we not oppose you and slander you and think, "Well, I wish I had a different Savior." May we not just crudely joke with you and put you to the test to show us another trick. But may we receive you with humbleness, Lord, knowing our great need for you, seeking to be free from the bondage of the devil and find peace and healing and freedom in you. In your name we pray. Amen.